This episode is brought to you by Odmo's Pizza in Cambie. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider. Delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Cambie,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This, Cambie podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. The process by which the Cambie City Council appoints volunteers to its many citizen committees and commissions is coming into question this week after the majority of councilors declined the mayor's recommendation for 2 out of 3 openings on the Planning Commission. Per the city charter, new commission members are appointed by the council following interviews with the interested candidates and a recommendation by the mayor, council liaison to the commission, and the commission chair. The appointments are routinely dispensed with at council meetings in what is known as the consent agenda, a sort of catch-all item that also includes other board selections, previous meeting minutes, liquor licenses, and more. But it soon became clear that this Wednesday's round of appointments would be different. The stakes were high, with 3 vacancies on the powerful 7-member board, which reviews and decides a wide variety of development applications and other land use matters in the city of Cambie. Mayor Brian Hodson and Councillor Sean Varwig, who serve as liaison to the Planning Commission, had recommended former commission member and chair Dan Ewart, along with newcomers Matthew Ellison and Michael Nick Cousin, to replace longtime chair John Savory, vice chair Larry Boatwright, and Jennifer Trundy. But Carol Palmer, the former head of the Cambie Heritage and Landmark Commission and an active civic volunteer, questioned why they had passed over the application of Judy Jaroche, the current HLC chair with years of experience working with historical properties and city staff. Based on my review of the candidate applications, I think the selection committee made the wrong decision, Palmer said, pointing to Ellison's and Cousin's comparatively limited planning-related experience and skills. Councillor Chris Bangs then motioned to remove the Planning Commission appointments from the consent agenda for separate discussion, which was approved over the objections of Council President Tracy Hensley. Varwig also opposed the change, with Councillors Greg Parker and David Bajorin in favor and Sarah Spoon abstaining. Bangs expressed concerns that Ellison's and Cousin's applications had been filed late and that Cousin is Ellison's employee. It would be hard for someone to vote on a board against his boss's vote, Bangs opined at one point. Hensley accused Bangs of questioning Ellison's integrity, calling the display embarrassing. I can't imagine Matt ever holding a vote over Nick's head, Hensley said. I don't know Nick, but I know Matt. I think that's just an embarrassing thing to say. As for the deadlines, Hodson said they are and always have been routinely overlooked for most boards as long as the applications come in before the interviews are scheduled, which was the case here. Farwig also questioned Calkins' qualifications, saying he has 0 board experience and 0 planning experience, and the fact that he is married to Councillor Spoon, which he said could create a conflict of interest. I know it's not against the rules, but I think that it's important to have that out there for the citizens to know, Varwig said. But I see where this is going, and unfortunately, this is just a political game at the expense of the citizens of Cambie. Spouses of sitting councilors have been appointed to and served on the Planning Commission before, however, and recently. Chris Rocha, the wife of Counselor Todd Rocha, joined the commission in early 2015, while Hensley seconded and voted to approve the reappointment of her own then-husband, Sean Hensley, later that year. Parker defended Calkins' experience and qualifications. "Mr. Calkins is a member of the Canby Chamber and the Canby Kiwanis Club," he said. "There is a record there of citizen engagement and involvement. Also, for nearly two decades, he was an efficiency expert for a national corporation working on making things faster, better, smarter." The appointments of Ewart, Jaroche, and Calkins were approved by a 3-2-1 vote, with Varwig and Hensley opposed and Spoon abstaining. The juvenile driver in the November 19th fatal crash that killed 16-year-old Canby resident and County Christian School junior Matthew Dewar is facing trial for manslaughter and other charges, county officials confirm. According to the Clackamas County Juvenile Department, Ryan Anthony Keller, 17, was charged last month with second-degree manslaughter, criminally negligent homicide, two counts of fourth-degree assault, and reckless driving in connection with the case. He made his first appearance in juvenile court on December 20th for a preliminary hearing, which is the juvenile equivalent of an arraignment in circuit court. Keller was the driver and sole occupant of a black Acura SUV that, according to police, was attempting to pass another vehicle at high speed in a no-passing zone on South Molino Road near Blundell Road when he slammed head-on into a sedan containing Dewar and two of his younger brothers, ages 12 and 10. Dewar suffered fatal injuries and was pronounced dead at the scene. His brothers were taken to an area hospital and released later that day. Keller was also transported by ambulance for treatment of unknown injuries, but which first responders believed at the time to be minor. Keller was a student at Canby High School in November and was presumably on his way there from his Molino home when the crash occurred at approximately 7:30 a.m., though more recent court documents suggest he is not currently enrolled. Dewar, a former Canby High School student and athlete, and his brothers were headed the opposite way to Country Christian in Molalla. Under the original provisions of Measure 11, Oregon's voter-approved mandatory minimum sentencing law, juveniles ages 15 and up were automatically tried as an adult for murder, rape, and other violent crimes, including first or second degree manslaughter. But these provisions were amended with the passage of Senate Bill 1008 in 2019, and a juvenile case may now be moved to adult court in Oregon only after requesting a waiver hearing and meeting a narrow set of extremely rare circumstances. There is no indication the prosecutor in this case requested a waiver to try Keller as an adult. If convicted, Keller's maximum punishment would be commitment to a youth facility until the age of 25. The dire predictions of public health officials are coming to pass this week as a surge of new COVID-19 infections, fueled by the highly infectious Omicron variant, is leading to record case counts and hospitalizations across the state, with the impact being felt in the Canby community as well. During a news conference Friday, Dr. Dean Seidlinger, Oregon state epidemiologist, said Omicron will sicken more people much more quickly than other variants, causing a steep rise in hospitalizations. More than 10,000 people added in one day to the rolls of those infected, and hospital admissions for COVID continued to climb around the state. Seidlinger said the thousands of unvaccinated Oregonians should consider the developments a red alert. "It will overburden our already exhausted healthcare workers and oversaturate our healthcare system," Seidlinger said. "It will disrupt lives and livelihoods." Canby Fire Chief Jim Javis told the Canby Current Friday, "The district has seen a sizable uptick in COVID-related calls." "We're seeing a significant increase of the coronavirus like everyone else," Davis said. "It's going around like crazy." "The district has pivoted back to crisis mode with regard to staffing," Davis said, "which means firefighters and EMTs who have been infected or exposed to the virus may return to work after only 5 days as long as they are symptom-free." Schools have also been impacted, with some in Portland even returning to the remote learning environment that was ubiquitous in the early months of the pandemic. The situation in Camley is nowhere near so dire, fortunately, but Communications Director Kristen Wohlers said the school district has recorded a slight influx of student absences this week. And Friday in particular, when 15.5% of this district's students were out of class. Anecdotally, dozens of local parents shared their experiences on local Facebook groups this week, many reporting that their kids were homesick this week, though not all of them with COVID. It's obvious the current COVID-19 spike is affecting our community, and the school district isn't immune, Wohler said. Along with students, some staff have been personally affected and have had to be out as well. Still, somehow Camby School District staff are filling in the gaps and working to make school as normal as possible for students. It's pretty impressive to see behind the scenes. Davis said the district's medical advisor, Dr. Sean Stone, expects Omicron to peak within 10 to 14 days and then begin to recede by the end of the month, which is in line with the predictions of state health officials. The Clackamas Fire District and assisting agencies responded to a residential fire on Diane Drive in Beaver Creek Friday morning. The fire broke out just before 10 a.m., officials said. The first arriving crews arrived to find heavy smoke and flames coming from the house. The blaze started in the exterior of the home and quickly spread inside and up into the attic, according to Clackamas Fire. Firefighters quickly went to work to extinguish the fire, while other crews arrived to assist on the scene and establish a rural water supply. Clackamas Fire was assisted by Sandy Fire, Canby Fire, Molalla Fire, and Colton Fire. There were no injuries reported, but sadly, five people are displaced. Fire investigators remain on the scene to determine the cause of the fire. Fire officials remind those using a generator during the cold winter months to ensure it is outside and at least 5 feet from all doors, windows, and vent openings, with exhaust fumes directed away from the house or building. In addition to having working smoke alarms in your home, residents should also install carbon monoxide alarms by following the manufacturer's instructions for proper placement and mounting height. Cougar Country Hometown Sports Coverage is brought to you by Rife and Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Camby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR and Instagram at Cougar Country Pod. After nearly a month without competition due to COVID precautions, the holidays, and inclement weather, the Camby girls and boys swim team picked up largely where they left off in their return to the water on Thursday. The Camby girls defeated visiting Lake Ridge 107-63 for their second victory after last month's dominant debut against Tigard, while the boys fell 97-73 to pick up their first team loss of the season. Allison Yancey, Amanda Yancey, Avery Kanonen, and Callie Mull finished first in the 200-yard medley relay to stay undefeated in that event, while Helena Crispin, Karina Sawatsky, Katie Ball, and Ashley Peterson took third. Mull also paced the field in the 200 freestyle by a whopping 17 seconds. Michaela Knowles finished third. In the 200 individual medley, Kanonen and Amanda Yancey finished first and second, respectively. Camby finished 1-2 in the 100-yard backstroke with Allison Yancey and Kanonen, and 2-3 in the 100 breaststroke with Amanda Yancey and Sawatsky. The girls finished the meet the same way they started, with Allison Yancey, Amanda Yancey, Kanonen, and Mull cruising to victory in the 400 freestyle relay, and Hester, Knowles, Ball, and Taggart claiming third. The Cougar boys swim team started the meet strong, with Jack Hayhurst, Kai Latinen, Connor DeRisio, and Hunter DeRisio pulling out the victory in a very close race in the 200 medley relay. Hunter DeRisio followed that up with a win in the 200 free, with Canby's Alik House taking third. In the 200 individual medley, Hayhurst finished in second place just off his best time, while Connor DeRisio captured second in the 50 free before winning the very next event, the 100-yard fly. Brandon Slater's new season best time was good for third in the 100 fly, while Hunter DeRisio finished first in the 100 free. Kai Laitinen won the 500 free, dropping 14 seconds, while House finished third. The Cougs Slater, Matthew Solem, Zach Peck, and Kai Latinen were barely edged out of the second place in the 200 free relay, finishing in third by a couple tenths. Hayhurst came away with a win in the 100 backstroke, outpacing the competition by 8 seconds. "It was great to get back to racing again," coach Eric Latinen said. "Next week, if all goes well, Canby will swim at Tualatin Thursday, January 13th.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee companies at Hope Village in Canby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's C-U-R-R-E-N-T, to 888-906-3432.
Hey, Frankie, what are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out which TV option I want to use when DirectLink turns off their video services in January of next year. It's so confusing. Do you know there's about 40 million streaming services to choose from? Which devices do they work on? What channels do they offer?
No, I did not know that. But you do realize that you're probably better off than you think. If you have DirectLink's Easy Video TV now, you're already using a streaming service. But listen, you don't have to go this alone. DirectLink is actually helping their members transition to their next video provider. The company has an extensive informational website where you can compare popular services, and they host live tutorials on streaming TV options to help you decide.
Well, hold the phone. Are you saying that they're actively trying to help their members switch to a competing service? Who does that?
Well, DirectLink does. I mean, I guess it's one more chapter in their long history of wanting the best for our community. They've actually offered free classes for the past 12 years that teach our neighbors about the latest technology and internet security practices. And don't forget, they also orchestrated that popular bingo game last year that helped keep everyone entertained and connected during the lockdowns. They've also launched special programs to help keep our students connected at home during the pandemic, and partnered with the city of Canby to give free Wi-Fi year-round at 3 local parks for locals and visitors alike.
Wait, DirectLink does all that?
They do indeed, and that's on top of providing the best and most reliable internet and voice services in town. So, to learn more about DirectLink services or how they can help you transition to the right video service for your home, visit directlink.coop today.
For the Canby conversation today, I've traveled a little bit outside of Canby. We're coming to you from the Aurora State Airport at Vance Aircraft, a really unique, interesting, employee-owned company here in Aurora. I'm sitting down with Greg Hughes. He's the Vice President and COO of Vance. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks for coming.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a blustery day. You guys are dealing with power outages and all kinds of stuff, so thanks for taking time out to talk to me.
Oh, no problem at all. Yeah, sometimes you have to... You have to adjust.
Yes. No, wherever the winds take you, as it were.
that's what we do. In the aviation world, we're used to dealing with things as they come at you.
Yeah, adjusting the flight plan. Well, yeah. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about Vance? As I said, it's a really unique, really cool company, locally owned, locally operated. Not very many people know about it or even have heard the name or have any idea what you do. You're one of the largest in your field.
Yeah, so Vance Aircraft is what our company does is we make airplane parts, and we design airplanes and make all the parts for the airplanes, which we deliver to our customers, and our customers take it as a kit, if you will, and they build. They go from zero, all of the parts, all the way up to airplane.
Okay.
And then they test fly their airplane, and they're high performance sport aircraft that are very agile and very capable. We have, you know, a couple that are great for learning in, a couple that are, some that are great for aerobatics. We have family size airplane, lots of that. Vans has been around in the Aurora since right around 2000, so for about 22 years. But the before that, we were over in Forest Grove. But before that, we were over in North Plains, and that's where the company started, was over in North Plains.
Yeah.
And 2022 is the 50th. Iowa? No, North Plains over by Hillsboro.
Okay,
gotcha. Yeah, over by, right by Hillsboro.
Yeah.
Oh, right off 26.
Yeah.
And but 2022 is the 50th anniversary of Vans Aircraft. So the company was started in 1972. Awesome. 50 years later, we're here in Aurora. We've been here for, like I said, about 20 years. You know, it's a company that's growing a lot. Sales are great. We have our challenges from a growth perspective, but it's a really fun company. As you mentioned, it's an employee-owned company. What we build, the way I explain Vans Aircraft is, in a nutshell, is we build people's dreams, right? So the little girl or little boy that was standing next to an airport fence or would walk outside and look up every time you'd hear that sound up in the sky. And since then, as always, every time you see or hear an airplane, you look up and you're like, wow.
Right.
You know, some of those people eventually go on to build airplanes. And this is sort of like, it's like the adult version of that dream.
Yeah.
And making it come true. That's how I got hooked into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it's a really fun, pretty unique business from that respect.
Yeah, fascinating. I want to ask you what you think, you know, why you kind of fly under the radar, but my thought is most folks, their only real interaction with aviation is going to be commercial airliners, right? They don't even conceive of buying a kit and building an airplane and taking it into the sky. I imagine that would probably make people a little skittish.
Well, it's true. I mean, some people, you know, everybody has a different reaction to flying. For some people, it's like something they have to do and they want to actually do the flying, right? They want to pilot. Some people are really into the airplanes. Vans Aircraft is by far, by like an order of magnitude, larger than our next largest competitor in the kit airplane market. We're by far the largest manufacturer of kit airplanes in the entire world. And we ship worldwide. And we have more than 11,000 of our airplanes that have been built and finished and flown.
Wow.
Since the company started 50 years ago. It's a company that exists in the Portland, Oregon area, right down here in Aurora. And maybe not a whole lot of people have heard of Vans Aircraft in the local area. We're at the airport, and you know, airports, you know, not everybody goes to the Aurora State Airport, which is a terrific, great airport. You know, it's more of an industrial type place. But the, you know, the company has been here for a long time. So if you ask people around this area, have you heard of Vans Aircraft? They might say no. If you ask people in the aviation, in the general aviation space, and especially the experimental airplane space, have you heard of Vans Aircraft? Well, of course I've heard of Vans Aircraft. they're like the kit airplane company in the world. So for people that are familiar with that space, everybody's heard of Vans Aircraft. For people that live, you know, in this area, maybe they haven't heard about us.
So I'm fascinated to hear how the company, and obviously going back 50 years, but kind of got into this niche and kind of built itself into the leader that it is. It sounds like really, in a lot of ways, and tell me if you agree or if I'm wrong, but sort of helped create this niche that you've then kind of dominated.
Very, very much so. You know, back, you know, even well before Vans Aircraft, a man named George Bogardus lived in this area and was in the Hillsboro area, was sort of instrumental in getting the concept of a person can build an airplane and legally fly it.
Because that's how it started, right? I mean, going back to the Wright brothers and whatnot, but then we had largely come away from that, and it was very factory
It was factory.
High-tech.
But there was a group. And it's a long history, and the Oregon Aviation Historical Society has great stories available on this. But the Oregon Outlaws was a bunch of people in Oregon that guys that built airplanes and flew them, you know. And in the, right here in the Portland area.
Oregon Outlaws. That sounds awesome.
And they, and so there was this, there's this really deep long-term history of building your own airplane and flying it. Huh. A lot of which is really rooted in Oregon and kind of grew from there. Dick Van Grunsven is the founder of the company. It's why it's called Vans Aircraft, right?
Yeah.
And over in North Plains, you know, they had a family farm with a small little airstrip that that the boys' dads built, and they had a little cub, and they learned to fly over there. And I, you know, without going into the deep history of the Van Grunsven family and their flying history, which is a whole bunch of fun stories in and of itself.
That's another family, isn't it? Where you ask somebody in the aviation industry, and they would all know about them, right?
Yeah, Van is certainly known as you know, to your point, is sort of the I don't know if he's the creator, but he certainly was a superpower behind the kit airplane industry and defined the industry in many ways, along with a couple of other folks.
Yeah.
You know, and the company, you know, he started, he had an airplane that he knew could be built better, that was, not an airplane that he had designed, but he designed a new wing, and he designed a new canopy, and he designed new cowling for the, around the engine and things to make it perform better.
Yeah.
And he was able to take that and make that airplane fly better.
Yeah.
But he took that airplane, which we call the RV-1,
right?
And so the airplanes are called RV with a number after them. So the RV-1, which was really a modified Stitz Playboy airplane, that was the name of it.
Yeah.
And he took it as far as he could. And once he had done that, he decided to sit down on paper and take what he had learned and what he had designed and build a whole new airplane design on paper from that. And he did that. And that eventually became what was eventually named the RV-3. And that was an airplane that he flew to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and he did a which is where the big air show is every year. It's the big convention. We call it Air Venture now. And it's the mecca of general aviation. Thousands and thousands of airplanes fly in there every year, all in 1 week. It's the busiest airport in the world for 1 week out of the year. But he flew it there back in 1972, and people were there and saw it. And both here in Oregon and back at Oshkosh, people said, how can I get one? And that was really how Vans Aircraft started. And so Vans started selling plans and then producing metal parts, which became somewhat rudimentary kits.
And it was...
And it all kind of grew from there.
The design, it was the performance, or just the idea that I could build my own aircraft? What do you think was the biggest
appeal? It was all of the above.
Yeah.
And that's really what has made Vans Aircraft special in the industry, is it's a combination of... I can do it, right? You can do it.
Yeah.
Anybody can do it, really. But not only can you build something, but you can build something that's a really beautiful airplane that flies great and performs really, really well and is a lot of fun. And we also have a record of safety that's really quite good.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's the combination of things, the great-looking airplane, you know, safe and fun to fly, performs really, really well.
Yeah.
You can get there quick, but you can also land it slow. All of those things combined together, I think, to make the different airplane models, which have evolved over time. But to make them something extra special.
And welcome back to the ad sponsor section, where I get to talk to people about books, because I always drag Megan Waterman in here to be with me. Hi, Megan.
Hi. That's not a bad thing. Talking about books is always the best time.
I think you know of all people that I can talk about books endlessly.
I do.
Yeah. So, Megan, do you want to tell our listeners about what's going on down at the Book Nook?
At the Book Nook, we are getting ready for the holidays.
Yeah.
I know.
There's only one I care about. And by the time this ad comes out, it's basically over.
Are you talking about Halloween?
Yeah, I like spooky, scary stories.
I know you do. We've got a lot of great spooky, scary stories in right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We do, but spooky, scary stories are also good for Christmas. Do you have a favorite author that writes spooky, scary stories that are appropriate for Christmas?
You go with your classic Charles Dickens, right?
Yep.
Some Christmas Carol stuff.
Absolutely, that's my favorite.
That's the best. There's M.R. James. I know about him. He did a whole series of short
short, scary stories for
short,
Christmas?
Short, scary stories? I don't know. Christmas in general is kind of scary. It depends on how many people you have to buy for.
How many people you have to cook dinner for?
Right.
Speaking of cooking dinner, Thanksgiving is coming up.
Thanksgiving is coming. We have got some beautiful cookbooks in recently, and some really cute kids cookbooks just came in if you want to start cooking with your grandkids or starting to teach, train up your little ones to cook Thanksgiving dinner so you can just sit on the couch and watch football.
And right now is the time to go in, right?
Yes.
Because waiting till Christmas Eve for that one special book that someone wants isn't going to work out.
It's not going to be there. This year, it's no secret, the last year and a half has been a little crazy for the whole world. And yeah, that is really going to affect Christmas this year. There are going to be serious stock issues this year, so get your Christmas shopping done early. We've been working really hard to get as much inventory on our shelves and in our overstock as possible so that we have what you want at Christmas time. But if you know now a title that you want to buy for somebody for Christmas, get it now.
All right.
I might not be able to get it later.
And what is all three of ours, because we also have Amy in the studio with us, what's all three of ours this season's book recommendation?
Okay.
Amy, what's your book recommendation for this season?
The Night Before Christmas.
All right. Yeah, that's classic. Megan?
And for me, my favorite Christmas read? Oh, okay, my favorite book that's coming out it's no secret, I'm an Outlander fan. I love Diana Gabaldone. There may be a cardboard cutout of Jamie Frazier in our bookstore. Book boyfriends are a thing.
Yeah.
And finally, book 9 is coming out towards the end of November. So you will not see me until I finish reading that.
And mine is the Dungeons & Dragons Feast of Legends or whatever, the table. So make sure you guys come on down to Book Nook. Megan, where are you guys located?
We are on the corner of Grant and 2nd in downtown Canby.
All right.
And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. So it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they'll have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
I want to come back to how things have changed, but I wanted to, over time and in recent years, I'm sure there's been some change. I'm curious, and I'm sure you could guess from my naive questions, this is a world that I'm not as familiar with, but I'm curious what sort of the typical customer looks like for Vans. What's kind of that profile? Are they, maybe a little bit older, retired, have some disposable income, or what?
Yeah, so it's a mix.
Yeah.
I think historically, generally, we would say that the bulk of the builder population has been retired guys. Mm-hmm. Who might
tinkerers.
Have some, yeah, tinkerers are people that like to build, creators, makers, we might call them now. It's sort of the new term.
Yeah. Right?
Over the last decade or so, especially, that age range that is our typical customer has grown, and
it's
there's quite and we've always had younger people that have gotten involved in building airplanes, but we have more younger people getting involved now in building airplanes, part of that is a resurgence in people that are doing flight training and are becoming pilots. There's been a build there. Plus the technology and the capability that we have as a company to build airplane kits that are more advanced and more refined and faster.
More tailored.
And faster and easier to build.
Yeah.
And more consistent in terms of how it's built because of that, because of the refinements and the technology that goes into actually making the parts.
Yeah.
All of those things have combined, I think, really to change that demographic.
I'm having like nightmarish flashbacks to like an IKEA kit or whatnot, but like tell me a little bit about how it arrives, what it looks like when someone, obviously someone who knows what they're doing, but when they order and get one of these kits.
Yeah, so when you order it, first of all, you order it as sub-kits.
Okay.
So every airplane has what we think of as a tail kit, which is like, you know, the tail feathers. It has the vertical and the horizontal components to it. That tail kit might also include the tail cone, the back part of the fuselage on the airplane.
Yeah.
Usually the tail kit is where somebody starts.
Okay.
And then there's a wing kit and a fuselage, which has both wings, and a fuselage kit, which is the bulk of the fuselage. And then what we call a finishing kit, which is after you've built all that main structure, it's the things that you use to kind of finish the airplane.
Gotcha.
It includes things like, you know, the clear canopy.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of have a bubble canopy style as opposed to windscreen on most of our airplanes. And we have things like there's the fiberglass engine cowlings that go on front and the wing tips and all the things that you use to finish the airplane, landing gear and tires and all that stuff. But one of the cool things is, you know, so one thing is that often people think that it's only rich people that own airplanes.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, I own an airplane that cost significantly less than my truck.
Okay.
And my truck was not an expensive truck.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
So, you know, and one of the cool things about building an RV, a van's RV, is that, you know, you put the sweat equity into it.
Yeah.
And so some people get involved because they want to find a way to get a really exceptional airplane and put the sweat equity into
right,
it.
Right, right. And save some money in that way.
And it's fun to go buy an airplane,
you
know, and especially if you find a great deal on a good airplane as a private pilot, you know, you always want to learn to fly. So you go to a local airport like Aurora or Twin Oaks over by Hillsboro or anybody can learn to fly.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe you go over to, you come here to the Aurora Airport and take lessons. You go over to Twin Oaks Air Park over by Hillsboro over the road or Lenhart's Air Park, which is right here in Hubbard.
Yeah.
Right, real close by.
Yeah.
Where places where you can learn to fly. And so people do that locally, you know, and they learn that and they kind of catch the bug, right? And then some people will buy an airplane and we'll go and fly it. And some people decide they want to build an airplane. One of the cool things, though, is that, you know, I mean, I can go buy an airplane. I've done that, you know, years ago in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really super special. And you go and you jump in there and you fly it, right?
Yeah.
But there is something different in terms of buying the airplane and then flying it or building your airplane.
Yeah.
And then flying it.
Yeah.
You know, it's both are very special.
Yeah.
But when you build an airplane and then you go fly it, that's your airplane.
Yeah.
You know, and it really is a pretty magical moment.
Yeah.
And a really, really cool thing to do.
Yeah.
It's part of the dream that people want to fulfill.
Oh, yeah. It feels very empowering and kind of a big sort of personal growth moment.
And there's a great, I mean, just an amazing, very large group of people across the country and around the world, locally across the country and around the world, that that support each other in terms of answering questions on, you know, what do I do when I'm building and I run into this, or what's the best way to do this when I'm flying the airplanes, or people that will come over and help, sometimes even if you don't ask them to, because they're just so excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a terrific community of people that's been built around these really neat airplanes.
And as some right here in Canby, you were mentioned before we started, you live out in the Skyline Park, which is sort of this little
Skyline Drive. Yeah, it's called Dietz Air Park.
Okay,
is the name of it, and it's been around since
off a township
late
there.
60s, early 70s.
It's a really interesting community where a lot of the folks have planes. There's a little airstrip there. And
yeah, it's really, really cool. A whole bunch of really great people and just a really neat neighborhood.
Yeah.
Which
you
know,
notice, you obviously see the airfield, but then you also notice those are big garages.
It's a big shop.
Yeah,
right? It's really what it is. Yeah, and so there's quite a few people there that fly, you know. And when the weather's nice, you know, you might see an airplane taking off or landing there. It's a big grass airstrip that's a community airstrip. It's a really super cool, super special place to live and group of people.
Yeah.
You know, that there's not a whole lot of those places around,
yeah.
you know, anymore. There's still quite a few in the Portland area, not as many as there used to be, but pretty, I feel very fortunate. It's a really neat opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Here at Vans, it sounds like you have a sales staff here. You do direct sales. So you don't have retail locations that you kind of produce. Right. And, yeah.
Nope, we sell direct.
Yeah.
And honestly, we don't even have a sales staff.
Okay.
Our airplanes.
People come to you.
We have plenty of sales because of word of mouth. People build the airplanes. They love it. Other people learn about it.
Yeah.
And believe me, that brings us more business than we can sometimes deal with just through that.
Yeah.
We do build, all of our airplanes are kits except for one, which is available either as a kit or as a finished airplane. That's called the RV-12IS.
Okay.
And it's a smaller two-seat airplane. And when we build it, it's actually treated as a certified airplane, so you could take it to a flight school and use it to rent it to people as a commercial airplane. The other ones are just personal use airplanes that are built at home.
Yeah.
You know, and these airplanes are not, you know, I mean, this isn't Tinker Toy Erector Set style airplane.
Right.
When these airplanes are built and they're finished, they are a high quality, high performance, really tough, you know, very safe airplane.
Yeah.
That looks great and is a lot of fun to fly.
Awesome. In our last few minutes here, I'd love to hear kind of more recent history, how things have changed either for Vans industry or maybe how COVID has impacted. I'm sure there's a lot, but from those early days, what has kind of been some of the biggest impacts or changes to Vans here just in the last few years?
Well, you know, we have a lot of jobs right now. If anybody is interested in working in the local area,
good jobs, right?
Yeah, really good jobs. Yeah. This is I think we said before, it's an employee-owned company, right? And so people that are here and stick around for a while, you know, we have good benefits, we have, you know, health insurance and all of that.
Yeah.
401k and all of the good stuff. So we're a fairly mature company. We're not a huge company. We're about 125 people, but we've got a dozen openings right now, right? And that's in the factory and in the warehouse and in the front office.
Yeah.
Good jobs, really, really cool people that work here. Great team.
Yeah.
You know, but COVID, you mentioned COVID, and one of the things that we experienced when COVID first hit, you know, we didn't really know exactly what was going to happen. We had to plan for the worst and plan for the best at the same time, right?
Yeah.
You know, and everything in between.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, what really ended up happening, we can look back now with hindsight, is there were a lot of people that got stuck at home and had a lot of time to watch their kids play with toy airplanes.
Always wanted to build an airplane.
And and the internet still worked.
Yes.
And they did a lot of research, and I may have done a little bit of internet thing to make sure that people would find us.
Yeah.
But the result has been that our orders now are at 250% of the level they were pre-COVID.
Wow.
So 2.5 times the orders.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing. It's a great problem to have, but it also generates problems, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because the demand is very high.
Yeah.
And with COVID, you know, as everybody in the region knows, there's ups and downs, and you have staffing shortages, and even if people are sick, you have staffing shortages because you have to quarantine. And so it's been a tough road.
Yeah.
But we're doing well, and we're keeping pace, and we're working hard. So, but we do have, if anybody is interested, then I would ask, you know, reach out.
Yeah.
Go to vansaircraft.com/careers.
Yeah.
There's a listing of the current job openings there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd love to talk to people. You know,
awesome.
Whether it's crating the kits and putting them in the big wooden crates or building the crates.
Yeah.
Or running the big machines in the factory that make the parts, or talking to customers on the phone when they're ordering kits and have questions, or all of those things. You know, we have a lot of really fun, cool jobs for people that would be interested.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Greg, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. Really appreciate it. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
No, I appreciate you coming down. You know, it's, I guess the other thing I would share is that, you know, we do tours
awesome.
On weekdays, 9:30 and 1:30 every day. And anybody that's interested in coming down and seeing what it's all about is more than welcome to come down and visit with us, or, you know, check out, see the factory and kind of see what it's all about.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Yeah, very cool. It's easy to find. You've got the the name out front. I think the letters are about 30 feet high or so. It feels pretty big.
Big yellow letters on the front, yeah.
Can't miss it.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or that baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.